Morning, and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's own way, and we are excited for another day of grace. We're excited that you are here with us today, live and in person. We also are thankful for the ones that are watching us on our channels, our web page. We encourage you to come and visit us if you can. Come study with us. We're just a normal group of people that we're not Bible packers, but we're Bible believers, and we believe the Word of God rightly divided. And we're going to continue this time. We stopped off last week with Lesson 17A. If you'll be turning to Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to be 17B. And what we're doing, once again, we're learning about contrasts in God's Word. And there's no contradictions in the Bible, but there's contrasts, the opposites. And when you understand this and how to be able to understand what God is doing today in the but now and what He did in time past and what He's going to do ages to come, it makes a world of difference in your Bible. God made a division in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. Not heavens, but heaven and earth. God Himself made a distinction between heaven and earth. Then in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, the focus in God's Word from Genesis to Malachi to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of Acts, first part of Acts, the focus is the earth. And if you think about that for a minute, 90-some percent of your churches out there, don't matter where you go, what denomination you go to, when you walk in there, where are their focus at? On the earth. So that makes you think, well, this is me. This is all about me. But God had a purpose in Himself that before the foundation of the world, that He had something special. And you're special people, by the way. You're peculiar. I'm special. I'm special Ed, just to let you know. But anyway, just jokingly. But the thing is, what He's doing today is totally different than what He did in time past. And when you understand that God made a distinction not only to heaven and earth, and if the focus was on earth in time past, God made a distinction between Israel and the Gentiles. That's what this time chart is. It's a timeline of your Bible. Don't let it throw you off. I know when we was part of a Christian school at one time, and Sherry drags this chart into a study. She was doing in school, and years later, some kids said, that chart intimidated me. It scared me. Because you look at it, you're like, what in the world's going on there? It's the timeline of your Bible. And if you understand, God made a distinction between Jew and Gentile. We understand that. Israel and the Gentile. Nations with S means what? Gentiles. God chose one nation, that's Israel. And that's why they're up here, because God took Israel and elevated them to be a light, to be a people, and all the other countries in the world, they would come to understand who God the Father was, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they can be who they are. Now, could a Gentile like us, could we had been saved in time past? Absolutely. God made a provision for everybody to be saved. You know, it's very interesting. We talked about the ark and being open and God closing it. God made a provision for anybody to get on that ark that believed what Noah was preaching. But did they do it? So don't be surprised today when you share the gospel, the grace of God with somebody, they just don't want to hear it. You know, they just don't want to hear the simplicity of it. But should that make you give up? Should you just close the door of the ark on your heart and shut your mouth? No, there's a way that you can continue to do it. But God made a provision for Gentiles in time past, but they had to go through the nation Israel. That's part of the contrast that we're doing. Okay? You need to understand that Genesis through Malachi, what do we call that when you in the Bible? What do we call it? The Old Testament. Then you open up your Bible and you go to Matthew, and the first big pages right there says New Testament. Well, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were still under law. They were still Lord Jesus Christ coming. So until the death of a testator, there's no testament. You know, many of you may have a will and testimony, your last will and testimony. Many of you may not. Many of you may have a living will. But alas, a will and testament is read after you die. So the Lord Jesus Christ didn't die till the last chapter of Matthew, last chapter of Mark, last chapter of Luke, and last two chapters of John where it records his death. So up until that time, the Old Testament is still in force. I say that because man can corrupt the Word of God and make you think, this is what I got to do. And many of us has been down that highway. Many of us live and poured fortunes out in these denominations, stuff like that, knowing that you was doing the will of God, what you felt the will of God. Now what do? You understand that was an era. Me and my wife was talking, come up the road there, you know, like people, and we're not putting down any church, y'all know that. But there are some people in there that may understand that they died, Christ died for their sins, buried, and rose again, but they continue to live Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're in error, okay? It's not saying that they're lost, because you can trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, plus nothing else, and still be a part of that and not knowing ignorantly. So we're teaching the Word of God rightly divided so you can understand and build up in yourself. Now, it can be scary because sometimes you may be out there all by yourself, you know, thinking, am I right? I mean, is this right because all my friends are gone? My family won't talk to me. John's holding up his Bible. That's right. So that's what mattered, and many of you may know my testimony. If not, I was fighting with this because I come out of a denomination that you had to have altar calls and water baptism. Everything else seemed to line up with what I believed, what these dispensationalists were teaching me. But when I did, I had to come to understanding. I said, Lord, if this is right, and I got on my knees, and I like, Lord, I just want to be right for God. And that's the way each and every one of us should be, want to be right for God. It doesn't matter if you're right for your spouse or brother or sister, because who's going to stand with you? When you stand in front of God, you're not going to be able to take me and say, well, Ed told me. I'm going to say, God told you. And it takes more of a man in mankind to stand for truth than it would ever do in a fake, false, phony religion. So that's not to scare you. But the thing is, once I understood that this was right, it doesn't matter what you and I believe, this is right, then my mentality changed. And all that garbage that I had in my mind from the world and from religious system, it's like taking that can of sardines and putting that key on there. Remember those? Did you ever eat sardines and have a key? Okay, if you did not, Sherry wouldn't. She had her little jar. No, just joking. But anyway, you had a key, right? How many of you ever put that key in there and got it on there crooked and it broke off and it wasn't opened up and you had to take a pair of pliers and here's your fingers bleeding because you cut them? I have. But if you had to put that key on there right, and you put that key on there and you turn it, get it started slow, and it starts opening up, and it starts, next thing you know, you're seeing them sardines laid out there, mustard on them, or tomato sauce, or hot sauce, or whatever flavor you had, and you roll them up, and now you can eat. That's what was going on in my mind, because I had to get rid of all that, and it started opening up that I believe this word over anybody. And I shared that I would like to encourage you, study what we're studying out till you take that dirt bath over there, to know that this is truth. And when you build up that inside of you, guess what you're going to be able to do? You're going to be able to take this and teach somebody. And when you teach somebody, that makes this place grow. See, they'll trust you teaching them before they trust a preacher. And that's why I encourage you, every one of us has a responsibility in a ministry, okay? Thank you. Y'all, see y'all next week. Now, just joking. We're in 17b. Go to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to knock this out right quick. And what we're doing, we're going to show you a little bit of what's going on in the prophetic program. And then we're going to see what's in the mystery program. God has a prophetic program, which 99% of people out there knows what that is. Prophecy, right? Then he has a mystery program, which very few people understand, and they think it's not this, ooh, mysterious things coming on like Wizard of Oz, and I'm the wizard, you know, that type of thing. No, God, mystery men's kept secret. God had something that kept secret in himself. Matthew chapter 10, the 12, now who's the 12? 12 apostles, disciples and then apostles. Are you one of these? Okay. The 12 offering the kingdom at hand to Israel. We always say the kingdom was prophesied in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Also, Deuteronomy talks about the kingdom of heaven as they're to pray the heaven, the kingdom of heaven to come where? Earth. It's always about the earth. It's prophesied. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where we're getting ready to row, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know there's a difference between being at hand and offered. There's gifts over there. That's at hand. But until you go over and pick it up, it's not offered. So Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, we know that chapter 10, verse 1, and when he was called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manners of sickness and all manner of diseases, and he names them. And go down here, verse 5, the 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of Samaria enter ye not. What do you know about Samaritans? Gentiles and Jews. You know, they was mixed. They was in that upper kingdom up there. But go rather to the lost sheep of house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know John the Baptist preached that? And Jesus Christ preached that? Now he's telling what? The 12 to preach it, that it's at hand. So he's the offering is to Israel, is at hand. He said, here it is. Now, hold your finger there and go to Romans chapter 12. In the dispensation of grace, the contrast to this, Romans chapter 10, you have proclaiming the gospel of the grace of God, not only to the Jew, but who? To the Gentiles alike. Now, something's wrong here. The Lord Jesus Christ, there's something wrong because God wouldn't do this, right? God would never tell Israel. You're just seeing where God's told Israel, the 12, to go not to where? The Gentiles. Now, who you know about the Gentiles? They was uncircumcised and without God and without, had no hope. And all that we, and I was in that category, was in miserable, miserable shape. Chapter 10, verse 12. Now, who's writing the book of Romans here? Paul, the apostle to the... We found that out last week, last lesson. Here you go. The proclaiming the gospel of the grace of God to Jew and Gentile alike. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Go to Acts chapter 20. So Paul is saying there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, Jew and Greek, which was a Gentile, right? So we got Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 20. Here's what Paul told them. And I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly from house to house. That's the work of the ministry, guys. testifying both to the Jews and also the Greek, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Verse 23. Save the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying the bonds and my afflictions abide me. Verse 24. But none of these things moved me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last lesson, where did he receive this from? The risen Lord, glorified Lord and Savior, gave this to Paul. Okay? I received the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, before I go any further, what was the message that God told Israel, the 12, to go preach? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the kingdom of the gospel. That's the gospel of the circumcision. Okay? There's five or six different gospels out there. Don't get caught up in just one gospel. Okay? But you need to know what is the right gospel. Because if you're being told that you got to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you call that your gospel, you're in error today, because God's not doing that through his Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Yes, sir.
That's not a wrong gospel. It's just not our gospel.
It's just an error. Yeah, it's an error. It's not a...
It, the Jews, not today.
Yeah, but not today.
Not today.
But it was the gospel. And what does gospel mean?
Good news.
It's good news what's proclaiming. Time passed.
In the end,
it ages to come.
Wrong. It's just not ours.
Right. And then when you understand the right dividing word of truth, and you understand... Why we looked at this a couple lessons ago. For $3.99, you can get the whole tape series. I'm just joking. You can go online and you can go back to every lesson. We taught about that program being postponed. It's not forgotten. It's postponed. So look at verse 8. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First I. Who's that I there? Thank God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I, making mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by any means now at the length I might have a prosperous journey, but the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you the spiritual gifts to the end that ye may be established. That is, I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren. That's the biggest denomination out there, the ignorant brethren. It's more than what you and I could ever dream of. There's a lot of ignorant brethren out there. And this is what Paul calls them. That some oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also among the Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now, what gospel is that?
Gospel of grace of God.
He's getting ready to tell you, look, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is a power of God unto the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein there is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. I read all those I's. I don't know if you ever counted them. There's 13 there. What do we find out about the number 13? Rebellion. There's 13 I's there. I did a message one time on that and broke them all down and referred to God's, Paul's epistles, Romans. And each one of those works through his epistles, how he built on that. But think about this. Power of God. What is the power of God, it says? The gospel what? What's the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God is the mystery. If you want to know God's wisdom, it's in the mystery program. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Don't believe me? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now the gospel of Christ is the good news that Christ is going to come and die and bury and rose again. Got it? Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish, but to us which are saved, it is what? The power. You want to know what power God is? It's not going out here laying hands on somebody and all that stuff. The power of God is the preaching of the cross. You preach that cross, it's going to change lives, people. You with me? You preach that cross, it takes a dead man and makes him alive. Chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 5. That your faith should stand in the wisdom of man, not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. What would the wisdom of man do with this word? What has the wisdom of man has done with this word? Hey, let me ask you something, not to throw a rock at you. What is your wisdom done with this word? Wisdom man's not good when it comes to the word of God. We know what God did. He gave them up. He gave us up. He gave them over to their sin. So they to the wise. I'm going to make wise. But look, howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. You got the wisdom of man, you got the wisdom of the world, right? But we speak the wisdom of who? God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God had ordained before unto our glory. Now that's where it's very, very important. Which came first? The chicken or egg? You always hear that, but which came first? Okay? Think about this. You had the mystery program that was hidden God before the foundation of the world, and you got the prophecy program that was spoken since the world began. Which came first? So you always think about that, because sometimes we get it backwards. This prophecy program was first, and then the wisdom that he kept this hid. He had that, what we live in today, purposed in himself before he thought about anything. So he knew that Satan was going to blow a fuse. And he also says, for ordained, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This should wake you up. You know what that tells you? If Satan and his princesses had known what this program was going to accomplish, or yet to accomplish, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But would that stopped him before him being crucified? Because Psalms tells you that by faith, Israel is supposed to take the Lord Jesus Christ, take him to the altar, bind him to the altar, and by faith sacrifice the Son of God. Does that sound familiar? Did Abraham not take his son and put him up there? And by faith he was going to kill him? Because what did Abraham know if he trusted God for righteousness? Resurrection. So Israel, by faith, supposed to take that. So God and his wisdom, that's why I always say, listen, excuse me, consider this. I always said, my wife says, listen. She's pointing that finger. Listen. I'm like, ugh. But anyway, consider this, okay? That In the garden, you had God's word and Satan's word was there, influencing Adam and Eve, right? Going. So what did Satan introduced in the garden was human viewpoint. So now not only did you have Satan's word and Edward, Satan's word and human viewpoint, your word, two against who? And that's always been the issue if you look through, always two against one, always two against one. You know, this type of thing against God's word's what makes it done. But you have the gospel of grace of God. Now go back to Mark. Switch it over to contrast right quick to Mark chapter 16. Back in the prophetic program, prophecy program, you have power to work miracles. Okay? Now the apostles had powers to work miracles. You know Judas had powers to work miracles? He's an apostle. He had all the powers. He gave them to him. To heal what? Some manners of sickness, some manner of disease. Wouldn't that be awesome today, Jim? Our bodies would just be healed, you know, and we could live the way we live, you know, not eating right.
It can be.
What?
It can be if you're
obedient to the mission. Okay, hang on, man. Yeah, so these are working miracles. Okay, Mark 16. Verse 14, afterwards he appeared unto the 11, and Paul makes 12, right? So he's talking about Paul. How many, Mark 16, 14, that's what it was. The 11, you should underline that 11 because it ain't
12.
It ain't 12. Who did he give power to? The 12. And he said unto them, now who's the them? You should have a little leaven about. It's okay writing your Bible. They sell them every day. You know, and you got to have the right pen. Don't be writing in your Bible with just any old pen. You got to have that type of pen or a pencil. Okay. 11. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, we just read something about the gospel of the grace of God, didn't we? And this is, Lord Jesus Christ already died. So what gospel is he going to preach to every creature? Not these. Now, where are we at? What gospel did they know to preach? Gospel of the kingdom. This is what these 12. And he says, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that is believeth not shall be damned. Who preaches that today? Basically, there's a denomination out there, starts with a B. And then, and these signs shall follow them. Now, this one starts with a C. Church of God talks this. The signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Now, who does that? Pentecost charismatics, okay? Verse 18, they shall take up serpents, and they shall drink any deadly things. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? This is what he's telling them to do. So they're working miracles. So if you saw somebody do that and they did it and they healed them. And by the way, remember Acts chapter 3 when the kingdoms of the kingdom is being offered to Israel, and there's a man at the gates, alms. He's asking for alms, and he was lame from the birth. Just sitting there, I guess people would bring them there. Unlike what you see off the highways, you know, they walk there. Some of them drive there and then get out of the car and, you know, alms, alms, alms. The man asked for alms. What did Peter say? Silver and gold have I none. But in the name, rise up. The man didn't ask to be healed. He's asking for money. Didn't need it. I mean, he's been there all his life in front of this place. And all of a sudden, so they work miracles. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. In the contrast of what we're doing, miracles shown first for signs of apostle, right? That's what the miracles would show you, that they're apostles. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, y'all know who Paul was. Could Paul work miracles? Did he work miracles? Yeah, he was a real thing. But look at verse 20. Now, what's this guy's name? Chapter 4. Erastus. A bold at Corinth, but help me out here, guys. Trophimus, have I left at what? So wait a minute. Here you got an apostle, and he left somebody sick. You ever heard that thing? Take a little wine for your stomach ache. You know what they're doing? Prescribing medicine. My grandfather had a little wine bottle under his cabinet. And when he had an upset stomach, he'd take a little swig. Next thing you know, he's back up there making chairs. But later, fading, Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. When you have the Word of God, and you have a complete Word of God, you should know some things, right? Where did I say to go? Acts 19. Acts 19, verse 11. Acts 19, verse 11. And God worked special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and disease departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. So here's a man had a handkerchief. You ever got one of those in the mail?
No.
We have. And they wanted money. And we got a handkerchief. And that was a prayer cloth handkerchief. But you had to send them money.
Then it would work.
So what I'm getting at, miracles did work. They did do miracles. But they also, what? Ceased. It's not. What? Let me ask you this. Let's say that we was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John days. And they're preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What kingdom would you think about was at hand? The one that was in Jerusalem under Roman power? Or a kingdom that he's going to establish over here that was promised to Abraham? So here you are sick, you're lame, whatever the case may be, you got ailments, you are not going to walk into that kingdom unwhole. You're going to be made whole. These things that we put on our head so I can see how pretty you guys look today, ain't going to need them. We're going to have a body fashioned, God promised through Paul, we're going to have a body fashioned like his glorious body. You know what Lord Jesus Christ's glorious body was when he died? A 33-year-old male in his prime. Now, you women ain't going to be males, but I'm just saying, you know, you're going to have a glorified body. But look, ministry based on covenants and prophecy. Back over the contrast sides. Isaiah 60. Get Acts chapter 3 and Isaiah 60. I'm going to speed up just a little bit. Acts 3 and Isaiah 60. Now, who's the book of Isaiah written to? Okay. And it's a prophecy book, right? And we always talk about Israel and prophecy and Isaiah, Ezekiel, all the books back there. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of the horizon. That's ages to come, because it sure didn't happen in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it should have happened over here when Isaiah was writing about it. Because Israel at one time was there was no nation that didn't know who Israel was and what God done for them. They feared that. It went all throughout the world. That is ages to come over there. Where that light, there's going to be a light that these Gentiles down here, when God takes us out of here, by the way, and God makes a distinction between Jew and Gentile, again, the nations, they're going to be a light that these nations are going to come up and want to serve the living God. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Yea, all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye, who's the ye there? No. You, ye, thee, thou. Thee and thou, what happens to thee and thou? Stops. Ye, you, ye. Ye are welcome to come back. Who's that talking to? Yeah, you could take it individually or you can take it off. But look, ye are the children of the prophets and the covenants which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first having rised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. He's talking to the nation Israel there. It's based on covenants and prophecy. You with me? This is where in Acts chapter 3, it's almost just like Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 3, if you read back there in 18, 19, 20, he takes a murder indictment against the nation Israel for killing the son of Jesus Christ, makes it a manslaughter offense, waters it down a little bit, you did it ignorantly, and he's offering, now the kingdom of heaven on earth is being offered. And here's their chance. So Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is made an offer to Israel. Here's your chance to get right. The nation Israel, the little flock that's followed them from the generation of man and all this, they're saved. They're in a kingdom. They're part of they're in Christ. Not the body of Christ. They're in Christ for a kingdom. So now he's going to the nation, the leaders. And you know what Stephen did when he addressed them leaders? He called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised. Try that with some of your friends out there and see what they do.
They don't like it.
Them are fighting words. They gnash with their teeth.
We've got to kill them. We've got to kill them.
And they stoned Stephen. But look, that's based on covenants of prophecy. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. This mystery is based upon the gospel of the grace of God. We are not, I don't care how you slice and dice it, We are not a covenant people. Neither will you be a covenant people. God never promised a covenant with you and I. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians. Apparently Ephesians was some ungodly people. They worshiped a rock that fell from the sky. Great is Diana. Paul went in there for the space of 2 hours. He's in there trying to preach to them in this arena for the space of 2 hours. What was they saying? Great is Diana's. Great is Diana's. Great is Diana's. He said, you're worshiping an unknown God. But verse 1, chapter 7. Chapter 1, verse 7, sorry. I looked at the clock today. It's 10 minutes after 7. And I was telling Sherry it's 7 minutes after 10. She said, what? I said, 10 minutes, 7 minutes after 10. And I'm like, no, it ain't. It don't pay to get older. But anyway, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his what? Grace. This mystery program that we live in, the dispensation of grace of God, the mystery program is based on the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And by the way, you don't find Peter, James, and John and the 12 preaching the forgiveness through this man, the forgiveness of sin, until you get to Paul in Acts chapter 13. So that should tell you something. What are they preaching? They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got and all that. Go to 16, chapter 16 of Romans. Keep your hands there in Ephesians chapter 3.
Isn't it true that Peter and the 11 were at the cross?
Say that again. Not at first, no. No, it's horrible. You crucified. That's why I said in Acts chapter 2, when he's preaching to you with wicked hands had crucified the Prince of Glory. And they're like, what shall we do? A lot of people say, what shall we do to be saved? In Acts chapter 2, 38. You ever thought about that? An axe and 2:38s pointing at you saying, you got to do this. Yeah, what shall I do? You know, I'll be like, But anyway, where did I say go? Romans chapter 16. The mystery kept secret until the time. I said 16:25. You didn't hear me? I know where I was going.
Just remember 7 after 10.
Okay, that's very true. Okay. Now, verse 25. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to Peter's gospel, according to my gospel. Hey, guys, this is personal. Paul's making his gospel personal, and that is totally different what we read back in Acts chapter 3, verse 21. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the prophecy. Mystery. You see this? These verses will change your life if you let it. So you got the gospel, Christ and the mystery, which was spoken since the world began, which was kept secret since the world began. But now, not back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Paul is saying, but now, there's a lot of beautiful buts in the Bible. This is one of them. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Ephesians chapter 3. This mystery program was kept secret, guys. You can't ever let that go. And it was hidden who? God. Amen. He gave up the attributes to know that. But here's the thing. We got people out there, the 28th position, that said it was hidden God, but they didn't know it. Abraham talked about it. I'm like, no. Outside of Daniel, maybe Solomon, who was the wisest person your Bible speaks of outside of God? What's his name? Lucifer knows this book. He was there. He was created. He knows what God is doing. He would have picked up on that, just what we said, if the princes of this world had known. Now, if it was hid in the Word, if it was hid back in here and they didn't find it until Paul popped up on Paul, they're not good scholars. They're not good Bible believers. Acts, what did I say? Romans chapter, excuse me, Ephesians, thank you, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, that's us. We have an apostle. It's wonderful. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. You know, some Bibles don't have that word in there. King James Bible talks about the dispensation. It's a dispensing. It's a dispensing. It's a, I used to have an, I had a poem about what is a dispensation, but I forgot it. How that the by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote in four few words. Whereby when you read, you may understand the knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This program is not based on covenants. This program is not based on prophetic prophecy to you children. This was made known unto Paul only at the right time. That's why Paul says, I'm definitely going to make a 17C for next time. You know, because I still got a lot of notes going back and forth, and I don't want to keep you no more longer. You have to. But the thing is, I want to show you something right quick. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. 1 Timothy Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Okay, Paul's writing to Timothy. Now, Paul's getting ready to die. Timothy is his last book he's writing. Okay, he's run his course. He's going to the altar. He's done it all, right? And Timothy is young. He's a young preacher, having some issues, wanting to give up. And that should tell us something. We don't give up. We stay the course. Verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. This is Paul himself. What do we say about a blasphemer? Okay, a lot of people says the unpardonable sin is blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. Now, what did Paul just say he was? He could not be saved in that kingdom program. But God chose him. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't pick some high, polluting religious person that's holier than thou.
Who?
But he was a blasphemer. But in the, well, we know in his religion, he counted himself, he was moving up a line. Yep. He was moving up. But the thing is, he chose somebody that was just couldn't be in a program. Not to say go out here and blaspheme and injure us and kill people. I'm not saying that. Then he says, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save the saints and non-believers, and all the believers, right? This what? Sinners, of whom I am chief. You know what? You can look at Paul and say, no, I beg to differ, Paul. I'm chief of the sinners. I've just done just as much as you have. Now, ain't too many people say that. But look, he's what? He's the chief. Howbeit for this cause, what cause? What cause, Paul? What cause are you talking about? That Jesus Christ came in the world to save what? Sinners. Now, we've read that Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to throw this out to you right quick. You know when he's having a Lord's table and he's sitting there, he said, this is my cup and this is the blood that's shed for. Not all. Many. Now, who is that many? Only the people wearing glasses in here. Put them on, John. If you ain't got no glasses on hand, he didn't die for you. Okay? Many meant something. You don't get to all till you get to Paul, that he died for all whom God's will is to have all men to be saved. Because this is why he is a due time testator. Keep reading. How that this cause. Christ came to this world to save who? Did he not save Paul, the chief? Because I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. In me first. You ever thought about who's the first member of the body of Christ? Yeah. In me first. Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. So look, think about that for a second. From Paul hereafter, from Paul to us, what do you believe? What Paul has given us. One more thing, go to get Matthew chapter 24 and Colossians chapter 1. Matthew 24. Contrast, contrast, contrast. Context, context, context. You know, it's easy to take stuff out of context, right? The world does not do us justice by not telling us the truth in all things. You turn on the TV set. You know, I was told. We've been in this business. No, I don't want to say business. I definitely don't want to say business. We've been on this journey. We've been in this message since 93. Okay, and we've had some good teachers, and we've had some teachers that was in your face. We talked about them today, and how much our family members didn't want no part of him, and that made it hard on us because what you say can affect people, right? If you listen to radio preachers out there and TV preachers, you know if you just kindly pick up that radio or TV and turn it upside down, you might get a shake what they're saying. You might get a little truth out of it. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that lightly. Because people lies to you. They do not go and study and search out what they're telling you. And like I said before, people come to church buildings, they unscrew their heads, they put it in a mailbox and walk into church because they don't need it. Because that preacher's going to tell you everything you need. And you walk back out there, and I've done this myself. Boy, that's a great sermon today, bud. That's a great sermon. If he'd have only said, well, what did I say? I don't know, but it was good. You know, I better get back to what I'm saying. Matthew chapter 24. What is Matthew about? Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as a king. So Matthew 24, this goes on just about what we were talking a little while ago. They asked him, Matthew 24, and this is not the rapture, it's a tribulation period. And they asked him, they're asking him, Jesus went out, verse 1, and departed from the temple and disciples and came to him to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto him, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here at one stone upon another, thou shalt not be thrown down. This is not the rapture, okay? But he says, verse 3. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. Here he are upon the Mount again. It's a figure of a king. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what sign shall be of thou coming and of the what? End of the world. Now, who in the right mind would not want to know when the end of the world coming? Wouldn't y'all? I mean, there's people who wrote books and movies and whatever. The end of the world's happened May 14th, 1983. And it continued to lie to people. But look, he says, chapter. We're going to verse 13. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, who's he talking to here once again? Who's with them? The little flock. And they're talking about right over here. If you're going to endure to the end, you're going to be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. What gospel is going to be preached? And what's going to happen when it's preached to all nations? Okay, now, I'll get your thinking cap on for a second. If you believe that's the gospel today, okay, and many people do, the gospel of the kingdom. Oh, there's only one gospel. There's universities built on this motto. Why ain't the end come? Go to Colossians chapter 1 right quick. Colossians chapter 1. You know who Paul's writing to Colossians. You know the gospel that he preached. The gospel of the grace of God. He did not preach the circumcising gospel. He did not preach a kingdom gospel, right? Okay, can we agree on that? He's Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'll save you some. Well, verse 18 says, and he is the, well, verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, 15, we're going to close. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. This is a government structure, guys, in the earth and in the heaven. Can you see the invisible things in heaven's going on right now? But he's there. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This is Jesus Christ, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might make what? Preeminence. Jesus Christ, everything that God the Father created is for his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Satan wants that. Satan wants to be the guy. Satan wants to be the God. You know Father, Son, Holy Spirit? You know Satan's got Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet? He's got a trinity just the same. And the theme of your Bible that you hold in your hand is about authority sitting on a throne over the entire universe. And there's a battle on earth and a battle in heaven. And that Satan is the prince of power of the air. There's three heavens, y'all know that. The blue skies that you see, the stars, and where God sits. Satan's not at the third heaven. That's where Jesus Christ is. But he does control the first and second heaven. When you look at the stars and you're trying to find out your zodiac, they don't tell the story that God created. Where are we reading? If ye continue, verse 23, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, are made in a minister. My question to you is, many of you may know this, you can't leave until you give me an answer. I'm not going to. Get comfortable. Look, the thing is, look, Jesus Christ told the 12, the little flock, that when this gospel was preached, the kingdom, gospel king of the kingdom was preached to every creature, then the end shall come. Paul says, the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Why isn't the end come? God lied. God lied, God lied. Delay, delay, delay. Mystery, 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 mystery. Pause, pause, pause. Think about this a minute. It's not the same gospel. Okay? The gospel that Paul preached is not the kingdom gospel. If Paul preached the kingdom gospel, the end would already been here. So this gospel that we preach and believe that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, plus nothing else, has been preached to every creature under heaven. You probably scared. How's that so? Who was mentioned? I think you last week or something were the places that Paul went, like Corinth, was ports. What better way is you getting out there preaching them sailors and all them people, and they're getting on them ships and like, man, I just heard some glorious gospel. I'm taking that back to my homeland. That's why we don't have to go to all these countries. The countries are here. You go to Canton, any place, there's all kinds of ethnic groups from all over. You go to Cleveland. You go to Cleveland, there's people from all over the world right there. So you go there and you say, hey, let me share this gospel with you. Wow, I got to get this back to my home. So you don't have to go. The word travels. That's why Paul's ministry is a teaching ministry. And we should teach people, and they go out these doors and they're like, I may not understand it all, but I do know this. Christ died for my sins, buried, and rose again. Amen? And I got an apostle that wrote books and wrote books, and he wrote them to me. We have mail. You got mail. And you know what? You don't have to worry about spiritual larceny. Going in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and taking that message out there and trying to apply it to you. You just stole. You just committed larceny. You might not feel nothing because that little inner man that got saved by the gospel, the grace of God, okay, it got saved. It's not going to grow with the wrong gospel. Amen? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for thanksgiving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, we'll finish up.